appropriate, Brother Thompson. I'd like to say good morning to everyone. God is good. And all the time, ain't God good? You ought to say amen if God has been good to you this morning. I know he's been good to me because he woke me up this morning. And not only did he wake me up, but he allowed me to get up. He gave me the use of my mind, my body, my limbs, and all that I needed to get up, stand up, and get ready this morning to meet him at his house. So I say again, ain't God good? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. The scripture was read for your hearing from Luke, the 17th chapter. And verses number 11 through verses number 19. And we'll reread them again for you right now. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers and stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And he was, and so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, where were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. That's from Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 11 through 19. This morning we want to talk for a few minutes. They called on Jesus. Here in this biblical example, we find Jesus going to Jerusalem, and as he passed through Samaria, a place where many religious leaders of that day would not even think of going. For the Samaritans were considered the low lives of that time. But it didn't matter to Jesus because he loved them. Part of his mission on earth was to seek and save the lost, no matter who they were or where they were. When others care not for you, Jesus does. We find in our text today 10 hopeless and helpless men. These 10 represented sinners coming to Jesus for salvation and cleansing from their sins. Let us follow where the Bible leads us. Now go with me to God in prayer this morning, if you will. Our righteous and heavenly Father, you are the blesser of us this day, and you have given us your blessings this morning to make it from our house to your house. We're so thankful this morning that you have been with us throughout the night while we slept, slumbered, and were secured. We thank you, Father, for the roofs over our heads, the breakfast we got up and ate this morning, and all the things that you have given us in between, the clothing and everything. Now, my Heavenly Father, as we approach that throne of mercy and grace, we come to ask for mercy upon each and every one of us. We come to say thank you, Lord. We thank you for the leaders of this congregation. We thank you for your darling son, Jesus, who died that we might have a chance for everlasting life. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for the leaders of this congregation. We pray for the members as well, and we pray for the brothers who have taken part in the services thus far and for those who shall come from this point on. We're so thankful. Father, we know that it is that time of the year when it's cold, so we should not be surprised that our weather is a cold day today, but at least it's a sunny cold day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything you do for us, O Lord. Thank you for food, shelter, and clothing. Thank you for everything, Lord. And now I pray that you might be blessed today. We might be blessed today through your word. And in Jesus' name, the one who went all the way to yonder's cross, I pray and ask it all. Let the church say, amen. So they called on Jesus. They were all in the need of the same thing. This group had several things in common with one another. They were all lepers. They were seeking mercy. And they were seeking healing from their condition. We too need to search out Jesus for our sins, just like these ten did. Our greatest need is for the salvation of Jesus Christ. The question is raised in Matthew 16 in verse number 26. The Bible says, "What is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Many think differently regarding this matter. Some feel that their greatest need is for pleasure, possession, and popularity. I say they are wrong with that line of thinking. If you would take a notice in verse number 13 of today's text, these men were not searching for fame or popularity. They were seeking mercy. The verse said they lifted up their voices and called upon Jesus to give them his mercy. So why should we today seek Christ? Because pleasures won't save us. Possession won't help us get into heaven. Nor will popularity get us to the head of the line to be first in the gates of heaven. The only thing that we can save, that can save us, is the blood of Jesus Christ. When we become ill or we get in trouble, the Lord should be the first name we call upon. And afterward, then we should go to man. We should never become confused on who we should seek first. Matthew 6 and verse number 33 tells us, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else will come later." Isn't that right, church? So they were all looking for the same thing. They came to the right person. Only Jesus can save us from our sin, and these ten lepers knew this, and so they came to him. In Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, the Bible tells us, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved." The name of Jesus is proclaimed. None other name is proclaimed, but Jesus' name is proclaimed. There are other names, but none other name is given among men whereby we must be saved. This is in effect an invitation given to us to accept the name of Jesus as our Savior. Jesus is the only way to get into heaven. In his own words, Jesus said in John 14 in verse number 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." There is no shortcut, no back entrance, only one way to get into heaven. How do we know that? Well, because the Bible tells us in John chapter 10 and verse number 1 where he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Also in John chapter 7 and verse number 10, Jesus was speaking again, letting us to know that he is the door. He said, "I am the door of the sheep." So you can't get in any other way, church. You got to come through Jesus in order to get into heaven. I say to you this morning, if you're not seeking Jesus, you need to change your priorities. There were 10 lepers. These 10 lepers knew what we need to know today, that Jesus and he alone can cure us. He can show us mercy and save all men from their sins. In verse number 9 of John, once again, John chapter 10, we see that he is the door, and by him, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. When one realizes he is in sin, the only way out is to come to Jesus. Call on his name, for he is able to save all of us. We must learn to accept him, believe on him, and be buried with him through baptism. If we have not put him on through the water, we must do so. Now, church, I want to ask you a question for a moment. Have you put Jesus on? And since you put him, if you have, if you answered yes to that question, have you came back to him to let him know how much you appreciate his goodness, his grace, and his mercy toward you? Only one out of the 10 came back to thank God for what he has done for you. I'm just a firm believer that you ought to thank God for what God has done for you. And you can let everybody know that I thank God for what he has done for me. And I just thank him for everything he does for me. Now, I tell you, I've been going through a little crisis here, and I know I've been thanking God for every moment, every waking moment that I have. I'm saying a prayer. Even when I'm sitting up and watching TV, I'm praying just the same. I'm thanking God for what he has done for me. And sometimes I just slip into another room in the house, and I go to God in prayer. I thank him for what he has done for me. And you ought to be thanking him too for what he has done for you. I know he's done something for you, because if he didn't do nothing but get you up, I see you here this morning. So God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. They all came the right way. They understood what they needed. They needed mercy. In verse number 13, the Bible said they lifted up their voices. They knew who to call up on or who to talk to. They were not as full of pride as some today are. They humbly submitted themselves. They did not try to offer Jesus any kind of money or treasure, nor make any kind of bargain, didn't have any kind of bargaining tool. They simply called up on him and asked for mercy. Now that tells us something. We need to ask God for his mercy to get us through each and every day. You know, the days are tough and they're getting tougher. And I say this every time I stand before you. I talk about how bad society is. Well, it's getting worse and worse and worse. Now, when you can no longer go outside your door without fear of being robbed or hijacked or carjacked, as it's called today. People no longer want to even travel. And you know, they're talking about making driverless cars these days. I think that's what we're going to have to get society to accept, driverless car. I wish they'd make a car where I could just send it for me, go to the store and get this or get that so I won't have to go. But they haven't gotten there yet. And I wonder if the driverless car is going to pay for itself, or will I still have to pay for it? Nevertheless, we need to thank God for progress in technology. Technology is a wonderful thing if it's used in the right way. But if it's used in the wrong way, it's not good for us. But thank God that God knows when to put a stop to it all. He has everything in the palm of his hands. And I'm just so thankful for that. So they called up on him and asked for mercy. They didn't, as I said, they didn't promise Jesus any kind of gift in order to receive his mercy and salvation. For it's not for sale. I want you to watch Romans 6 and verse number 23, where the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And since this is the season of gifting and giving, you ought to be thankful for that gift, the gift of life. Or the gift of God is eternal life. We must either turn or burn when we're in trouble. No money can purchase our salvation. It comes only through Christ Jesus, our Savior. Who is our Savior? Well, he's the one and only Jesus Christ, the one who built his church upon this rock. The one who lived, the one who died and lives on today. The one who has walked throughout the yesterdays and shall walk all of the tomorrows forevermore. The one who answered 10 lepers and cleansed them. This is the Christ of yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forevermore. The one who questioned one of the 10 lepers in regard to the other 9 and asked where they were. When the Master gets us out of trouble, we need to be ready to praise His name and to tell others all about Him. Church, I ask you this morning, I challenge you this morning, have you spoke to somebody and told them how good Jesus has been to you? You need to if you haven't. Tell your next door neighbor. Tell the person around the corner, around the block. Tell them how good God is to you. How good God has been to you. And just show them how good God is by walking in the right path and walking the right way. Now these 10, let us go back to these 10 for a moment. And we find that Jesus was just happened to pass through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voice and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And it was that as they went, they were cleansed. See, it happened immediately. Now, some of us, we get upset when we ask God for something and it doesn't occur right away. We say, "God didn't hear us." But that's not true. God hears everything. So when he saw them, he said, so it was that they went and they were cleansed. Verse number 15 says, and one of them, just one, not 9, not 8, not 7, not 6, not 5, not 4, not 3, not 2, but just one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice. He wasn't silent about it. He had a loud voice, glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So he was a foreigner, wasn't he, church? So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Didn't I clean 10 of y'all? But where are the 9? Were there not only found who were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Get up, go on your way. Your faith has made you well." God has sent us on our way, and we need to tell somebody about it. We need to let somebody know. I didn't get up because I was so good this morning. I didn't get up because I had so much money in my pocket. God doesn't accept credit cards, so he doesn't want your money either. God has been good to us because he's been good to us, and he gives us certain blessings, and we are to accept those blessings and be thankful for them. Now, when you got up this morning, did you wake yourself up? I think not. Did that radio that you have come on, did it wake you up? Probably so, but it was not the radio's doing that awakened you. It was God speaking to God, calling you out of your deep sleep. Now, I say to you this morning, when you got up this morning, did you praise the Lord for what he has done for you? Did you give thanks for your blessings of last night? You know, I often say when you go to sleep, you're helpless. You don't know what's going on. Whatever God sends your way while you're sleeping, it's a blessing, because if he wakes you up, it's another blessing. If he calls your name and you get up, it's another blessing. But I say to you this morning, God is always good to us. God is good all the time to us. And I never get tired of saying that. And I know during this time of the year, a lot of folk like to say that Christ was born at this time of the year. They have no knowledge of the real reason why this time of the year is here. It's because man made it a day for us to so-called honor. And they just put Christ's birth somewhere around this time, but it's not true, I can tell you that. And the biggest lie ever told is when we tell our kids that Santa Claus is coming. I used to be fooled by that. I'd have to go to bed at 8 o'clock in the evening, still light outside. My parents would tell me, if you want Santa Claus to come, you better go to bed. Well, I bought that for a while, Brother Lowe. Then later on, I found out, this man ain't coming around here. So then this time of this year, when we like to get into a giving mood, people you don't even know speak to you now. People you don't even know will say Merry Christmas to you. Well, I say thank God for this time of the year, just like I do for any other time of the year. I'm not making it anything special because it's not his birthday. So what I'm saying to you is that you ought to be grateful that God gave you the ability to call upon his name. And you'll know that God is really alive and well when he answers your prayer. But he's alive and well whether he answers your prayer or not. How do you know, preacher? Well, I looked up at the sky this morning and I saw a blue sky with bright sunshine. And I know that none of us could have done that. I know that God is good because when I got up, when I made my way through the house, my wife was cooking bacon and sausage. And I know that God is good enough to put that in my household. And so I thank God for everything that he does for us. So yes, I'm going to go back to this throne often enough to let him know I'm so thankful for what he has done for me. I'm going to praise the Lord with all my heart and with all my soul. And I'm going to praise him even when nobody hears me praising him but me. I'm still going to praise his name. When nobody else can see me praising his name, I'm still going to praise his name. Because he's the one that does everything for me. He's the one that gives me blessing after blessing. I went to the doctor on last week. I told you last week. But I went to the doctor not ignoring what to expect. But God gave me a clear bill of health on that part of it. Now I'm going to go back this week for another procedure. But nevertheless, I'm counting on God going with me. See, when God is with me, I'm not worried about who can be against me. See, when God is with me, I know that everything is going to be all right. Whatever way it turns out, I know that God is going to be all, it's going to be all right because that's what God made it to be. And I understand that sometimes things don't work out the way we'd like for them to work out. But I'm still thankful just the same. I'm thankful and I'm praising the Lord for what he has already done for me. He's given me these many years that I've had and I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Now let me tell you just for a minute or two here now. Let me just expound a little bit on that. Now, I didn't know on my last birthday how much more time I have left. Neither did you. But I tell you one thing I know. I know the person who does know how much time I have left. And I understand that it may not be as much time as I want it to be, but it's how much time he gives me, and I'm thankful for that. Now, I know that God is good all the time, and I say that all the time, and I keep saying that because I want you to know that God is good, and I want you to tell somebody that God is good. All the time, that's right. And when you let somebody know that God is good, you might help them to become a follower or a believer in God. You know, there's so many things out, so many so-called scams today, Brother Jackson. They tell me that there's a scam that for everything you can think of, just about. People are trying to separate you from your money. And you be careful out there and you ask God to show you what's right and what's wrong. If you don't know, if you don't have a sense of it, ask God to say, call on God, call upon Him if you need to. He's listening, He'll hear you. And so then, when these scammers come around, and don't you, let me just tell you something. Somebody knocks on your door, don't you go popping that door open for them because they say they're from such and such place. See, this is just a lesson in sensibility right now. Yeah. There you go. When they knock on your door, when you pick up the phone and they say, I'm so-and-so from such and such place. A good one. I'm from the Internal Revenue. I'm sure you've gotten that call before. They want you to say, how much money do I owe you? And I'm going to send it to you as soon as I can. But then they want you to, they tell you how to send it. They tell you to go down to Walmart somewhere and get you a gift card. Now, what is the government going to do with a gift card? The government has already got all the gifts they need. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. If you are the government, send me a letter. And if they don't send you a letter, you tell them where to go. And I'm not going to tell you where to tell them where to go. But you know where to tell them to go. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, call upon the name of the Lord anytime you are in doubt. When you're in doubt, ask the Lord, because God is not the author of confusion. So if it's confusing to you, it's probably nothing to do with the Lord. So with that said, I'll ask you one last question here. Have you been back to Him lately? Have you told Him how much His blessings mean to you? Have you asked Him to have mercy upon you? If you haven't, you should have. Have you asked God to give you all of His blessings that He has in store for you? Have you asked Him, Lord, just make me able to withhold and decipher between right and wrong? And God will fix you up. There's no wall that He can't get over, no tree that He can't get around. Nothing. The Lord is able to get you through any situation that you're in. And I know He can, because He's gotten me through situations. I know He can, because I'm sure He's gotten you through some situations. I know He can, because He is able to. Now, I don't know where everybody is at today, but I know this church should be fuller than this. I don't know if they'll be back or if they're out Christmas shopping. But wherever they're at, I just pray for their safety, that they get back in before it's everlasting too late. Those who may be traveling today, I pray for them that they might have a safe journey. But I pray that they have a safer journey and be upon their return, that they may get back and be back to church with us. You know, let me see. You know what I'm about to say now is that if you don't ask God for what you need, can you afford to buy it? God does not sell His blessings. Those 10 lepers found that out. But only one of them came back to praise the Lord and what God had done for him. So where do you fall in the 10? Are you like the 1 or are you like the 9? Ask yourself the question. Think about it before you answer. So how do you get to God? How do you become a member of the body of God? Will you come by hearing, believing, repenting? confessing and then being baptized. Even though it's cold outside, Brother Jackson will put on his boots and he'll go in the water and take you down if you care to. The water is ready. Christ is ready. Brother Jackson is ready. So are you. If you've done that already and you need to come back to God because you made a mistake, ask God to forgive you, and you pray and ask the church to pray with and for you that you may grow stronger. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.